A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Ayin Hei, Ksubas 75a, pagination is 149. We're in the last four lines of the Amud, the new Mishnah. We're dealing with the introduction to a phenomenal topic which affects many, many different cases when a purchase is made and circumstances in terms of the condition of the item that was purchased may or may not have changed, but at this point the item is damaged. And the person buying the item is claiming that the damage occurred before he acquired it, before he made the kinyan. And the person selling it is claiming that the item did not develop its defect until after the act of acquisition occurred. You could be dealing with mundane items like plastic cups, and the packaging is damaged, is waterlogged, and does not have easy resale value at this point. And the question is, when did it get wet? Or it could be, our case, a little bit more of a sacred topic, the topic of marriage, where the husband is extremely upset and claims that because the woman is blemished in some way, he was tricked and he wants to undo the marriage. We're going to encounter many different svaras, concepts, arguments, which play a role in how the ruling would be in any individual case. And right now for this session, we're going to pay more attention to the arguments than to the actual ruling. Now, one of the classic arguments, and is in fact a strong rule of thumb, is Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. Whoever's trying to extract money from somebody else has to bring the proof. Otherwise, we maintain the status quo that money stays where it is and you're not going to be able to get payment. And that's certainly one of the considerations. Who has the money? However, sometimes we're dealing with a case that it's so clear that the person is supposed to pay the money based on documentation, based on witnesses, etc., that person who's paying the money would actually have to bring the proof that he shouldn't have to pay. For example, if a person divorces his wife, the assumption is he has to pay her ksuba. If he doesn't want to pay the ksuba money, he's going to have to figure out why. Likewise, if we have an IOU that the person owes money, we have witnesses that he borrowed money, the default position is he's going to have to pay back unless he can somehow negate those proofs and show that he does not owe the money. Our case is a case of a woman who got married, or perhaps better said, a young girl who got married, and the husband now claims that she's blemished to the point that he does not want the marriage, and he's claiming that it never was a valid marriage. Our Mishnah states, Hayu ba mumin va'oda beves aviyah. There were blemishes if she's still in the father's house, meaning kiddushin was done, but nisuin, taking her to the husband's house, was not yet done. Ha'av tzarech la'avi raya shemishin nis'arsa hayu ba mumin alalu v'nistach v'sadehu. The father would have to bring the proof that these blemishes came after the Kiddushin, in which case the husband's field got flooded, got ruined, which is an expression meaning the item that he already has a relationship with got damaged while it belonged to him, and he has no one to claim anything to. It's Hashem's decision that the item that he owns got damaged. And that's what we're describing over here. If the woman discovered these blemishes, if these blemishes were discovered on the woman after the Kiddushin, then there's nothing to challenge in the Kiddushin. He is indeed married, and if he wants to divorce her, he would have to pay the ksuba. However, nichnasa l'reshus habaal, if she is now in the domain of the husband, habaal tzarech lahavi raya, the husband is going to have to bring the proof, sha'at shalo nesar sahaya b'mumin elu, that these blemishes predate the Kiddushin, in which case his argument is that the entire transaction was fraud. He was not aware of these significant blemishes. So again, in the first case, the husband is in the right, so to speak. The father would have to bring proof when these blemishes came. If he could bring proof that the blemishes came after the Kiddushin, he would get the ksuba. In the second case, she's already in the husband's domain. If the husband can bring proof that these blemishes occurred before the Kiddushin, then he's going to be able to exonerate himself of ksuba payments, but otherwise, he's going to have to pay. The Chachamim add to this and say, we're talking about blemishes that are hidden, things that the husband could not have seen until he's already married to her. If she has a blemish on her upper arm, for example, that's not visible to a man that's meeting with her, and he wouldn't know that until he gets a chance to be able to look at her upper arm. And therefore, he has a reasonable claim. But anything that's in the open, he can't use that as an excuse to negate the marriage. And we will work with the assumption that he did know about it. He was accepting of it. And now he's just making up a story to get an easy out from his responsibilities. V'im yesh merchatz ba'oso ha'ir, the Mishnah continues, if there was a public bathhouse in the city, af mumin shebeseser ena yachal liton, he wouldn't even be able to claim on hidden blemishes, mepnei shehu bodko b'krovo sov, because the assumption is that he checks her out using his relative, his female relatives who bathe with her would report to him. And if there's a blemish, the assumption is he knew about it and he accepted it. Dropping down on the page to just below midway, Rava Omar, Rava says, introducing more concepts that we're going to have to keep track of whenever a question arises, Reisha kanimtzu uvekan hayu. The explanation of the first part of the Mishnah is that we assume that the blemish occurred wherever we find it. And therefore, if the blemish is found while she's still in the father's house, the assumption is that that's where it developed. And that's why the onus was on the father to prove that it predated the Kiddushin. Seifa, however, it's also following the rule of kam nimtzu v'kan hayu, wherever we find it, that's where we assume it developed. And that's why the onus is on the husband, because it's showing up in the husband's location. He would have to prove if the blemish predated the Kiddushin, in which case he would be absolved of the ksuba, or the blemishes are after the Kiddushin, in which case it's his own possession that got ruined. Dropping down to the bottom of the page, ha made haguf al cheskoso. One of the rules is that we assumed that the body was healthy and that something went wrong sometime afterwards. We're going to assume that the something happened wrong in the most recent time. And until that time, we always assume everything was healthy based on its chazaka. We also have a rule, chazaka in adam shosa because Elohim kein bodko, that a person doesn't accept a vessel unless he's checked it. And that principle would apply, derech mashal, by the analogy, by a woman as well. He's marrying her, he's going to check her. If he shows up much later and says, I just noticed, we don't believe him. The assumption is that he checks at the time that the transaction, that the deal is being done. One final thought coming from the next Amud. Rav Ashi introduces a case, B'yaseiras, that she has an extra limb, like an extra finger, in which case there's really no argument as to when it developed, because clearly it developed when she was born, and it's coming before the Kiddushin. What kind of proof would the father be bringing in such a case that could get him the ksuba money? And the answer is, dera'a, that the husband saw this anomaly, v'nefayes, and he was accepting of it. And that's the kind of proof that would be brought in such a case. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.